to the angels sing, glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. Your life, your love, to all he brings, won't you listen to the angels sing, glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. It was heralded by the angels, born in a lonely manger. The Virgin Mary chosen as his mother, and Joseph his earthly father. Three wise men came from afar, they were guided by a shining star to see the baby where he lay in a manger filled with hay. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, to all he brings, won't you listen to the angels sing, glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, to all he brings, won't you listen to the angels sing, glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King.
We're going to sing that one loud today. I hear it. Come on. There's some joy in the house of the Lord. Amen. Welcome. My name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor of Hope on the Beach Church, and delighted to be able to be here and worship together with you in this beautiful location. If you join us online, welcome. Special welcome to you. And we always say kind of welcome home. This is your home. And it's a no judgment zone. And it's good to be gathered as a family, and we appreciate and love one another. Want to be there to spur and encourage one another too. And we're free as to worship where we're at, and that means sitting. That's all right. If you want to stand, raise your hands, clap, that's all great. Let's just give God his glory. And as we gather, we're reminded that, man, God has brought you here for a reason and a purpose, and he really wants to speak in your life today. And so I encourage you to look for it, whether it's in the music, in the preaching, or just in your time, his beautiful creation. Let him speak to you and awaken that heart to him and his grace. In your worship folder is a connection card, and we value and believe that you are a gift that God has brought here, and we want to be acknowledge your presence here also. And so if you can take some time to fill it out, we really appreciate it. If you'll see something maybe new there, there's called a Text Sunday Weather Alert underneath your best contact. If you want to be on a list that gets a text message on Sunday morning, today was real iffy. All the weather channels were conflicting with each other, whether we're going to have rain or not. And we came down here. It was actually cloudy as all get out. And God has brought the sun and cleared the clouds. So we are grateful for that. And but if you want to be alerted to where we're going to go or move on a Sunday morning because of weather, that's what that's for. You can sign up for it. Love to hear what's on your heart. If you've got some prayer requests, we'd love to pray with you. And lift those things up that you are lifting up and you are ministering to or dealing with in your life. We care about you and want to walk together. And we want to say that this is a place that is a place of grace, but a place to grow. And God loves us enough, as we say, not to kind of leave us where we're at, but he loves to meet us where we're at and walk with us. He's a gentle God. And so we love to be able to partner with that and walk with his grace and his truth together. So with that, we are in Advent season, and Advent is this four-week time as we prepare, spiritually prepare for the coming of the Lord, and not just his coming, but his coming again, And we have talked about hope. We have talked about peace. And today, if you haven't caught it, we're talking about joy. The third candle, the third part is joy. So with that, let us rise and let us begin worship together in prayer. And so, Lord, it is that we call upon your name, the name that is salvation, the name that brings all the great gifts of hope, a hope that does not disappoint us, a hope that rises above all circumstances, a hope that is not just wishful thinking but certainty, a one of great peace, a peace with you, but a peace with one another, and a peace inside that goes beyond all circumstances, that actually looks counter to what the world says. An everlasting peace. Today you come and remind us of the great joy that you bring. And so, God, we celebrate already. We lift you up in great joy because you are here. In Jesus' name, amen. We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, he holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, oh, we shout out your praise. We sing to the God. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung up on that cross. And he rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. Oh, 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 we shout out your praise. We were the beggars, here we go. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. That's you guys, that's us, the house of the Lord right here. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There is joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Heavenly Father, thank you for this joy. Wonderful joy. So before we do the song, I just want to share
I feel like God put it in my heart to share this. My mom passed away in November 17th of 2022, and some of you have heard this story. And it was very difficult. She was far away from me. And it was at 2 o'clock in the morning while I'm in the hospital with my wife that she had just gone through emergency surgery. And I get a call from my dad, mom has passed. And through that, that weekend, the pastor says, hey, that was a Saturday morning. And the pastor on Sunday morning says, hey, if you need to back away from leading today, we completely understand this is pretty hard. I said, no. We worship in the valleys and on the mountaintops, and I believe this, so therefore I'm going to do this. And barely made it through. And the second weekend, he asked me the same thing. Hey, Roberto, are you okay? I felt God's peace in this. And then in the midst of a song, he gave me joy. This is my favorite day in Advent. Because the joy from God is something that no man can separate you from. And at least for me. So he gave me joy in the midst of real hardship for me and my family. And it hasn't gone away. So in that joy, I received real peace knowing that mom's right beside him. Knowing that we're going to be okay. And though that loss is heavy, peace and joy were given to me as a gift. Wow. So I pray that for you guys, that in hardship, you worship him. In the mountaintops, you worship him. And that he meets you in your place of suffering or celebration and gives you joy and peace. So this song here is a new song. Maybe some of you have heard it before, and some of you haven't. So I want to teach it to you. Is that okay? Sorry. Here we go. The verse, first verse goes like this.
You can come with weapons in your hands, deep in the divide of God and man. You can be a cold and angry king. In your mercy, Lord, you choose to bring.
Here's the chorus.
Peace, peace, peace on earth. Peace, peace.
You guys got that? All right, let's sing it from the top. Here we go.
You could come with weapons in your hand, deep in the divide of God and man. You could be a cold and angry king, but in your mercy, Lord, you choose to bring
peace.
Father, as the flames and arrows fall, we wonder if there's any rest at all. When battle cries replace the songs we sing. In the name of Jesus, let us bring peace, peace, peace on earth, peace, peace, peace on earth. A peace that binds the nations, a peace that will restore for every generation, a peace forevermore, a reconciliation, a reign for tired land. The God of our salvation holds it in his hands. Sing that again. Peace that binds the nations, a peace that will restore for every generation, a peace forevermore, a reconciliation, a reign for tired land. The God of our salvation, he holds it in his hand. Peace, peace, peace on earth, peace, peace, peace on earth.
A master who would kneel to wash our feet. Hallelujah. A warrior to suffer our defeat. Thank you, Jesus. The child that will deny our death its sting. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and bring time. Come on.
Peace, peace, peace on earth.
And the peace that came to earth is recorded in Luke. And if you want to follow in your worship outline, this words concerning Jesus recorded in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. In verse 10, I remember verse, let's just read it together. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of a heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and a baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told them. It's the word of the Lord. Maybe sit down. Maybe seated. There we go. I want to talk today about joy. And the kind of joy that doesn't depend how well your life is going, how healthy you are, how strong your economics are, or how peaceful the world seems. Because you're honest, even in those places, they are places that are limited with peace and happiness. And certainly those things don't bring joy to all people. In fact, research shows right now in America, it's about 54% of people would say that they're in a happy place. There's no measurement of joy, but they would say they're happy. But, you know, we know about 50% of the population is not happy. And we've also seen in this recent times an increase in suicide. So there is not joy in all these places found in these things. And after all, sometimes Christmas comes at the wrong time, when life hurts, when things are unsettled, when fear is knocking at the doorstep of your heart. And perhaps why is that's why God sent his son when he did and where he did, into a world that was chaotic, fearful, uncertain, just like ours. And maybe joy then isn't something we're supposed to muster up because it's the holiday. That's what you're supposed to do. Or joy is not something that we're in the pursuit of, the next event, the next party, the next great experience, meal, or drinks. Perhaps it's something we were meant to simply just receive. And that's why the angels said to the disciples, shepherds, I'm sorry, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And today what I want to do is, God wants to do, is to give you that same joy. So if you're taking notes, number one is this. The night was dark. The night was dark. Verse 8, 9, and beginning again. The shepherds out in the field, they're keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. But it was a dark and cold night. This is kind of a drastic kind of desert environment. It gets hot during the day, and when night comes, man, it just drops. And so in this cold night, and this was for the shepherds, just another shift at work. It was just an ordinary day at work. It was an uncelebrated day. It was kind of an overlooked day. A day of counting sheep, watching sheep. The same thing we did the other day, and the other day, and the day before that. And shepherds, they were outcast. And they were outcast because their occupation removed them from the normal culture at that time. I mean, they had to be out in their fields. They had to be watching over. They had to be leading their sheep. They would be gone for long periods of time, taking care of the sheep, making sure they were in good pastures as they moved around the mountainside for little patches of grass. It wasn't big fields of grass. And so, therefore, they were kind of the lower class. They were usually poor. They also imagine being out there for long periods of time kind of stinketh much, but more importantly, even in the church, they were considered unclean. They had been with sheep, with animals, in all sorts of situations and conditions caring for them, and they were not allowed into the temple. They had to stay on the outsides. So here's a group of people that are really, we would say, are somewhat in a persecution, definite bias, shut out even from the church. And yet, it's the people that God comes and reveals himself to. For suddenly, a burst of light, the angels speak, the glory of the light is shining all around them, and Luke says they were filled with great fear. I'm like, of course they were! I mean, how many of you, when you're driving and you see a blue light behind you, suddenly come around with great fear, do you not? Right? You fear that little flash of light, and instantly it's fear, it's guilt. Oh my goodness, I did something wrong. Now imagine that little bit of fear you feel and take it to a higher level where it's not the cops, it's the glory of God around you. I mean, you would feel, no matter how good you think you are, but in that moment you would go, oh no, I did something wrong. I am a sinner, as Isaiah says. I am a sinner of unclean lips. I should die in the presence of a holy God. There's fear. It's beyond just a startling fear. It's a fear that has run in the blood of all humanity. It's part of our whole story. It's the fear that we know that there's something wrong in this world and there's something wrong in us and we can't fix it. We can't stop it. It's the fear that leads to the great darkness that we all are kind of worried about, we're concerned about, called death. And fear is what entered the human hearts way back in Genesis 3:10. And fear reveals our inability to save ourselves. And it's into that fear, into our fear, that we hear this. A, the first Christmas words are fear not. Fear not. Before God tells them anything to do, before he asks anything of them, before he invites them to go anywhere, he gives them comfort. God meets the fearful sinners with mercy and says, fear not. This is the way God is always. The world paints him as some cosmic killjoy out to get us, out to watch over us, wherever he messes up, to just squat us and beat us and punish us and out to just destroy us. And yet every time in Scripture and over again, God comes and he comes to us and he comes with mercy first. He comes with grace first. He comes with the gospel first. He comes as a God of love and mercy to save, not to judge, not to condemn, but to lift up, to free. So raise this question for you today, B. Where is fear gripping you today? Where is your fear that's in your heart, that's in your conscience, that's taking up space, bandwidth in your life? You push it aside, but it keeps raising its head. You try to stay busy and distract it. But what is the fear that keeps bubbling up? It's the fear of your children or grandchildren or future, their faith. Is it the fear of loneliness or finances? Will I have enough? Will it last long enough? Is it fear of our world's instability? We're always on the verge of another war. Is it the fear of your past catching up to you? People really knew who I was. They wouldn't like me, accept me. Is this fear of all the guilt you carry quietly? Or is it the fear of death? You need to hear today that God speaks to you into that fear. And he says, do not be afraid. Not because life is just going to be easy. It's going to be all easy for you. And from now on, no. Do not be afraid, because Christ is coming into your life right now. Right now. See, number two, joy meets us in our dark places. Joy meets us in our dark places. Joy begins not by us climbing up to God, not by us striving for his approval, striving to get his attention that he might be mindful of us. Notice the angels didn't come to the shepherds. Hey, cheer up, buttercup. Pull up your boots by your bootstraps. Let's go. No. They didn't say, look at the bright side. They didn't just say, hey, be happy. No. Because joy comes and meets us in the very dark places, our sinful places, our unclean places, our depressed places, our dead places. Because God comes down to us. An angel says, I bring you good news. Good news. Good news means something has happened. And it's good for you. And what has happened? A Savior has come. God has met us in our darkness. He has stepped down into the dark and broken world. He's not a God who's far away, a God who doesn't care, aloof from things, who started and backed off. No, He comes and steps down, and therefore everything is different now. Even our circumstances have changed. Even though our circumstances may not have changed, everything is different because there is joy. Joy is not a command. It's a consequence that happens because there's good news. God is at work. It's not something we create. It's something we receive. It's not out of human achievement, or it's a divine gift. It's not, you don't work your way to joy. Joy has worked its way to you. And joy works its way to you. And that's why the angels didn't say, try harder, be more spiritual, find your inner peace. Because the reality is, A, joy doesn't come from inside of you. Our world is so fixated, everything comes from inside of you. And you're able to change and think through it and conjure it all up. Joy comes not from inside of us. Joy, B, doesn't come from just good circumstances. Our joy is not set on our success, our strength, our performance. It doesn't come because we had a great vacation. These are fleeting. These are fragile. They come and they go. They're happenings. Joy is much greater than that. C, joy is a gift of God. It is a divine gift given to us. Because joy is not about circumstances. Joy is not about feelings. Joy is about an unchanging God. And what an unchanging God, a God of love and grace, has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ, that doesn't change. He doesn't change the way He comes to us, the way He looks at us. His promise, His word, it's truth. And therefore, it's an objective truth that always brings joy into us no matter where we are. So no matter what our mood, what our week is like, how much willpower we have that day, what our boss or spouse says, or the world says, wherever the weather is, there's joy. Because number three, Christ is the joy. For unto you, verse 11, is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The depth of joy is found in the one's identity of the one who's in this manger. What did He say He is? He is the Savior. He's the Savior. And there's joy because we need a Savior. We need rescuing. We need rescuing from our guilt, from our regrets, from our brokenness, from our frustrations of always trying to fix ourselves and not ever getting there. We need a rescuing, not a life coach, not more therapy and psychoanalysis, not motivation, not self-improvement, not just some spiritual pep talk. We need a Savior, one who deals with our sin, one who deals with our fear or death, and one who deals with the one who's trying to separate us, the devil, and trying to lead us into dark places. For the Savior has come, and He deals with our sin. He doesn't come and just excuse it or rationalize it or celebrate and say it's okay. He comes and takes it upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin, and he suffered for us. Suffered to a cross, and dies and rises. See, Jesus is born to save you fully, completely, eternally. Not to give you a tweak, not to give you a little boost, but to save you. For Christ be, is Christ, the answer is, the promised one. He is the one they've been waiting for. He is the Messiah, the fulfillment of every prophecy, some 300 prophecies in the Old Testament who point to Christ. The answer of every longing, the one who the whole Old Testament is leaning in on. And he's the one that shows again and again. As a God is a God of revelation, as he revealed it to the shepherds, he reveals it to us that God is faithful. He keeps his promises. And even though it might feel like he's taking his time, you know, it might feel like because he's not answering in your time, or he's not moving your time, or you can't see him, and it feels like God maybe doesn't care, or God's not there, we can look to the manger again. And remember, those people felt the same way. And they had generations and generations of disappointment built up of waiting and waiting and wanting and wanting. And God is faithful. And we know even the rest of the story that shows again and again that God is not far, that he is truly Emmanuel with us, who dwells with us despite our darkness. He comes close, and he's there, and he cares. And see, Lord, he is not, he's the Savior, he is Christ, the scriptures say, the angels say, and he is Lord, God in the flesh, God in true humanity. I mean, here's one of the deepest mysteries, that God has become man without ceasing to be God. The infinite enters the finite. The creator enters creation. The timeless one enters time. Why? So he can stand in your place. He can live your life perfectly, die your death sacrificially, and rise bodily, so you will too. So this means that Christmas joy is not sentimental. It's not a hallmark. It is sacrificial. It's not surface level. It is saving. It is active. It is living. It's not emotional fluff, but internal joy. It's a joy with a cross in it. It's a joy that forgives. A joy that holds us in suffering. A joy that outlasts death. What does it say? Number four, the joy is universal and personal. The angel says this joy is for all the people. It's universal grace. It's every nation, every tribe, every sinner, every generation. No matter how far you think you are from God, you're not far enough from his joy that comes to you. And while it's for every nation, every place, what does it say? The shepherds hear it personally. It says, unto you this day. Unto you is born this day. Today you need to hear those words the same way. Unto you. Yes, unto you. In your story. In your pain. In your loneliness. In your celebrations. Into your questions. And into your fears. Unto you is born this day. The Jesus that didn't just come to say, look, I rule things, but come to save his people. And he came to save you. And this is how joy becomes real. God promises because in a personal way to us, and he brings it to us in personal touches through his word and his means of grace. Right? So A, your notes. What? We're reminded, we're brought into that joy in baptism. We're reminded that Jesus says, you belong to me. God chose you before the foundations of the earth. And he wants you to know. He doesn't want you to be out there overrun by the darkness of the world. But he wants you to have his joy. And he gives it to you, even without doing anything, say anything, or able to go anywhere. Again, he meets us in this place of grace in the gospel. And he says, you are mine. I choose to give you joy. And B, he comes in absolution. Jesus says, look, your sins are forgiven. God is faithful and he is just. And he says, if you confess your sins, you are forgiven. He announces and cleanses from all unrighteousness. Why? He wants nothing robbing you from the joy that is yours. The joy that he's pouring out in your life. And he reinforces again in the Lord's Supper. See, Jesus said, this is my body. This is my blood given and shed for who? You. Not just you all, but you. God personally coming to you. And in that, we say, God, you matter. But in that, what Jesus is saying, that's why we say you matter when we take communion, is because Jesus said you matter to him. That he died for you to have joy. And so, D, joy is for you. Joy is delivered. It is placed in your hands. Placed in your mouth. So it can be placed in your heart. Again and again and again. Because we're filled with a world that likes to rob our joy. And Jesus comes again and again with joy. Number five, there's joy in the real world. Christian joy does not deny sorrow. Joy coexists even in suffering. See, the manger stands under the shadow of the cross. Mary rejoices, but she ponders in her heart. She ponders in her heart the sword that will pierce her soul as she sees her son crucified on a cross. For this child was born to die and die and suffer a horrible death for the world that you and I may live. I mean, this is why the Apostle Paul, I add another verse, 2 Corinthians 6:10, he says, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. In 2 Corinthians 7:4, in all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. Colossians 1:24, now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. James 1:2, consider pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. We often think that it's either one or the other, and the reality is we are in both. Skip down to number A just right now. It says, joy is not the absence of pain or hardship. Joy is the presence of Christ in the hardship. That's what gives joy. Hebrews writer says, look, we look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, to sit at the right hand of the Father on the throne of God. Wait a minute. He went to the cross. So this is in the Garden of Gethsemane after he's been just tormented. He's sweating blood. He's under incredible stress, knowing that the torture that is ahead of him, the pain, the suffering of not just physical, but a spiritual ripping apart from the Father who he's been together for all eternity, now will be separated, condemned to hell. There is this huge suffering and pain and weight on him. And yet, he turns from it, knowing the cup of wrath that is going to be his. And he says, there's joy in this. There's joy because why? He is saying there's joy because in this is saving grace. In this, that which was lost can be found again. The children we lost can be found and redeemed and be brought together as we God created it. And he's like, look, he's coming there, and it says what? He's on the throne of God to do what? To work all things for the good of salvation, that all would know and all would have this joy in their hearts. That's what I love about the Hebrew writer. It says, man, we don't have a high priest that doesn't sympathize with our pain and suffering. Well, actually, ours came into our pain and suffering and took it upon him. Why? Because he endured it, he conquered it, and he entered in it so he could come and that joy to you when you're in this pain, when you're in the suffering, when you're in the moments of great fear, you can still have this joy. Because why? Because there's a God who endured it too, and a God who conquered, who is with you to give you joy to endure, to give you joy and the strength that you need to conquer in Christ. There's a joy that has been set before us that we know is there. And that joy is just not in heaven. The heavenly joy has been brought to us. We should be the greatest joyful people on this earth. And we said before, God reinforced that joy all the time. And so we need to remember, when the darkness starts to creep in, as David says, the shadow of death may come. Remember, joy enters the hospital room. Joy enters, even in the divorce papers, there's joy in the empty chair at the Christmas table. There's joy even amongst broken relationships. There can be joy in financial strain, and joy in anxiety-filled nights and moments of guilt and times of love just eating at the graveside. Joy is there. And Christ steps into the darkness, and we fear, and he brings a joy we cannot produce. We cannot manufacture a joy that sometimes we can't even explain. How can you be that way in this situation? Because there's something bigger than me in here. See, number six, joy awakens our hearts. The shepherds hear the gospel and everything changes. And it does in us. Joy awakens our hearts to what? A, like the shepherds, to seek Jesus. The shepherds go to Bethlehem with haste. See, joy draws us to Christ. Not an obligation, but a delight. The shepherds left their whole livelihood, their current finances and their future. They abandoned it. Why? Because seeking Jesus became the number one priority. To see the baby. They didn't think through a strategic plan. They didn't get permission. They didn't try to figure it all out. They just went. Because joy overtook them. In fact, I call this in Scripture the first joyride, really. So here's the question. If you're not seeking Jesus with joy, and it feels just like obligation, this is just discipline, I'm just got to do it, man, that's like the engine light coming on. And if you don't address that, why it's not joyful for you, you're headed to a breakdown. Because the more I think about it and reflect on joy, really joy really kind of opens the door for so much of this rest of this story. If there's no joy, there's no moving forward. This was at a joy, and it was going to be hard, and there was going to be difficulties, but you know what? Joy overcomes. When you have joy, you figure things out. You don't let things hold you back. You don't just play victim when there's joy. And see, the joy to go seek Jesus, have joy to say, this is the number one most important thing in my life, and everything else will follow through. I will trust in that. This is first. And they have this pursuit of Jesus in their life. Number two, they proclaim Jesus. They make a proclamation. The shepherds tell others what they have seen and heard. You know that. Experience a good restaurant or something. You experience the beach. You're on vacation out here, and you're like, man, this was great. What do? You tell people. Nobody is paying you. You just do it. You take pictures. You tell people. You buy 38 garb, and you say, look, man, this is a great place. And you're passively proclaiming. But proclaiming actually is to verbalize what is the joy in you, to declare that out, what you have done, what you've seen and heard. That's what witnessing is. The shepherds didn't know everything. They just told everybody what they seen and heard. They gave a testimony and proclaimed the goodness of God to all that a Savior is born. That simple. When you have the joy of God in you, it's that simple to share it. You don't have to give a whole biblical explanation to it. Just say, I got joy. There's Jesus and he saved me. There's joy. That's it. I hope you can have that joy too. He gives it to you. You can receive it. There's good news for all. That's simple. That's what they got. The Christmas story is simple for a reason. Because it's for all. See, they worship Jesus. They return glorifying and praising God. For our Savior came for them. It gave them such great joy to see Jesus, experience Jesus. I mean, when you see the Word of God and you experience the Word of God and the Spirit in it, you can't help but to have joy. Know what God has done and does for you. Abundantly, freely, graciously. It's unexpected what God has done. Nowhere in the world do you get that. I mean, we get moments, right? Even non-believers have moments when they are given a gift and they're overwhelmed with goodness. What do they say? Oh my God! That's like our natural saying. Why? It's like saying, this is beyond anything I could ever expect or ever imagine. This is bigger than anything. It's a form of praise. Even though they might not believe it, they don't recognize God, they're saying this is beyond human understanding. And this is what the Christmas story is. They waited over 400 years, and here it is, being revealed to them, the sinners of sinners. And Jesus come. I mean, any baby usually comes, there's great joy. But this is the Savior, this is joy upon joy, who's worthy of praises. See, if Jesus is your joy of life, and you understand how he's come to you, your life is a life of worship. It's always in that seeking of Jesus and receiving that, what we return to our life with that joy and worship. We who once dead have been renewed, who are dead are born again in Christ. We are a new creation. Not of our doing, but a gift of God. Which really is we're being transformed. The shepherds return to the same field, the same work, the same routines. And nothing around them changed. But everything in them did. Their hearts were awake. Today, Jesus is sending you back to the same job, the same household, the same challenges, the same world. But to send you back not as the same person. To go back fully awakened, hearts filled with forgiveness, filled with hope and peace and Christ, that's rooted a joy in the great gospel good news and of a Savior who goes with you wherever you go. And so today, the angel announces to you again that a Savior is for you. He is Christ who's for you. He is the Lord who's for you. And he has a joy for you, a peace for you, a hope for you, a life for you. You don't have to go pursuing or manufacturing or pretending to have joy or chase it. Joy has come to you. Joy in a manger. Joy on a cross. A joy that has risen from the tomb. A joy that's present in His Word. And a joy that's given at the table to supper. This Jesus is your joy. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your abundant life that's filled with abundant joy. And so, Lord, even wherever we're at this day, and maybe in the fear we have of what might be or what might come or what is, or the suffering and struggles we have in this world that we will continue to have in this world, You told us that. Lord, may it be we be still people of joy. That there's both. And that joy would just abound and come to the surface. That You let that joy be so strong and it overrides, it gives us strength. Allows us to joy each and every day. That's what You say. Give us daily bread in this day, Lord. Lord, like, give us what we need for this day. No, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. You're in tomorrow. But with the day. And let us live in the joy of today. That's what You called us to. Well, we can't control tomorrow's anyway. So let us take joy in You today. Each and day that You come and give it again and again, and You meet us every morning with that new mercies and new joy. For we have been saved by You. And so as Your saved children, Lord, we come to You and we pray the prayer You taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As we continue our worship, it is our joy that we get to worship and bring our offerings to Jesus. To lay Him at His feet, to recognize this is all He is, and we are grateful that He has blessed us. And so whether you use the offering envelope, the QR code, the text to give, whatever way that would facilitate our worship to honor the King of Kings who came and took on flesh and came to us and continues to come with us. And so we do that. Also in your worship folder is a connection card. And if you turn to the back side of it this time and just look at the back of how can we help you. And if you, if you have not ever believed in Jesus, man, you've heard the gospel here. It is yours. All you have to say is yes for what you have received already. Because the faith comes by hearing the word and the good news, and the good news of Christ being saved. And if you have said yes and you've not been baptized, I mean, that's what the Bible says, that we are to be, as followers of Jesus, we will believe and be baptized. And so we would love to help you with that. And there's an opportunity to do that there. Also, if you would like some training discipleship, like, man, I've been around Christianity or I'm just new, but I really don't understand how to be a disciple. We have an incredible training that will help you in that journey. And also, you know, to be part of the body of Christ in the partnership class, to join in and partner with, we invite you to take that step. Here's some opportunities to serve coming up. We also had the poinsettia slip in your worship folder. There's opportunities to honor or dedicate a poinsettia for a loved one. That will be at our worship services, and you can take it after Christmas Eve. But also, if you want to help with that delivery and setup, would be greatly appreciated. You see the variety of Christmas Eve services here in Inlet Beach at our 98 campus that would be grateful for your help for decorating, setting up, or for serving. And then also, if you're any interested in any ministries, there's opportunities to get connected, and we love to share with you. So as we continue our worship together, the ushers will come around with a bucket, and you can put your connection card and your offering in there. So I invite you to rise as we worship together. Also, at the close of service, we'll be gathering a pavilion up there. You're welcome to come. We have a beach breakfast, a great time for fellowship and be able to connect.
This blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give each and every one of you peace. God bless. See you next week.